Over the last couple of weeks, we've been diving into the six video profit levers, the six most important factors to be dialing in if you're committed to getting more clients and making more money from your content. And it was Louise Cameo from the Biz Bros who actually outlined each of these six levers for us. And in today's episode, we have Louise back on answering important questions like, what's the most important factor in creating engaging content? Why is repurposing content so crucial for success? What's the key to monetizing your content effectively? How do you optimize your content when it's not converting? Should you actually start a podcast if you want to grow your business? We have a lot to cover in this episode. My name is Deidre Shen, CEO and co-founder of Capture, the fastest way to create content that gets you more clients. This is Win the Content Game. Hello, welcome back. This is part two of the six video profit levers, which, okay, levers. I think we had this debate before, Louise.
We'll go with your accent. This is the right accent.
We'll go with levers. Okay, so I am so stoked to have Louise Cameo back with us. Hello.
Hey, Deidre, thank you for having me back. I'm excited. I'm in a different environment today, but still good. I'm trying to match your thingy.
The awesomeness that is my,
your awesomeness,
my background.
We call those thingies in Venezuela.
Thingies, yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see exactly the thingies that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I want to just dive straight into it because we left on a bit of a cliffhanger, I feel like, because we have six profit levers to talk through and we only really dove deep into two. Yeah. So we actually have four left. But even before we hit record for this episode, you started talking about all these things like optimizations and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to nerd out on so much of this stuff. So what I want to do, Louise, if it's okay, is like, let's just really quickly recap on what those six levers are. And I want your perspective on what you found your clients come to you for and then what the journey through these six levers actually look like. And I think that'll give us a really, really good base then to take the conversation and be like, okay, what should the rest of us be doing?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, right? And we're big believers. I was about to say that before we started recording. I was like, no, we'll leave it there. But we really believe that every single either entrepreneur or company or team needs to develop their own systems and processes to, you know, what works best for that. Like coming out of the agency world, that's how we were born. We still play a little bit on the space, more on the boutique style agency, but we've seen it. I mean, we would love to like our system work for everybody, but it's not that way, right? And we've tried different agencies and same thing because everybody has different processes, different things. So this is what we developed with these six levers are the basis on how initially we developed our system that worked for us and then how our clients are able to evolve from maybe the production work that we can do into more flexible production and content machine that they can like control a little bit more or own the conversation if they're going to go hire somebody else, right? So yes. I just want to premise the conversation with that and hopefully, you know, we see it under those eyes as we move forward. So
yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Quick recap, right? Like we have the six levers. The number one is what are the things that we're saying, the WTS, what to say, right? That's with quick recap. It could be your own expertise, research that you do, frequently asked questions. And if you want to listen to the previous episodes, we really deep dive into that.
Yeah.
Then after that is the creation lever, which is how do we, what like the act of actually creating the content? Is that you writing a blog? Is that you creating a collaboration podcast? Is that you recording a YouTube video? Is that involves the studio, the setup, like the time from deciding to record a piece of content to hitting the red button? It involves all the mechanics of doing that. So we can optimize a ton of stuff there too. The third lever, which is, and we'll dive that into that a little bit more, is the production side. So how do we shape up that creation for a final product on the content side? Like the final YouTube video edit, the final podcast episode. How do we prepare that creation for consumption, basically? After that, it's the distribution side. Like that creation needs to be distributed and promoted, that the content itself is also a product. And then we have to market that creation in a way. So how do we distribute that? Do we have content maps? Do we have multiple pieces of content supporting a major piece of content that goes out that then that leads into monetization aspect, the offer? Like, how do we connect the people that come to us on the content side into our business? Is it a service business? Is it a low ticket offer? Is it, there's many, many scenarios on how can we monetize? And that's going to be basically depending on like the type of company that you have. And then the last one, but not least, is how do we manage this whole system? Is it just us? Do we have a team? Do we have a production team? Do we have an agency that helps with these pieces of content? Do we have, you know, some VAs or virtual assistants that can help us with part of the process? How do we manage that? Is that a monthly creation? Is that weekly? Is that daily huddles? What's the project management software that we're using to do all this? So all this together creates this awesome, I guess, individualized piece for every business that's out there. And we've seen it at many levels, from like a solopreneur all the way to a big corporation that can run the system. And all levers apply. There's just going to be different levels of that lever and then resources assigned to those.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive into that, because I really love what you said about the fact that this system is kind of like, regardless of where you are in your journey, what type of business you have, as long as you're creating content, this is, and you have a business, you're trying to monetize that content.
Yeah.
These are the levers that we have available to pull, but everyone is in a different situation, and everyone, I'm sure, finds themselves cycling back and coming back to some of these, you know, the previous levers, even though we're like, oh, we thought that we totally nailed down what it is that we have to say, but we're constantly cycling back. So I would love to get, you know, and talk about it from the view, because you work with a lot of clients, like, what do you find that they initially come to you for, and where they think they need the most help in this system? And then what actually happens? Where do they actually need help?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. And we've lived it from outside in, people asking us to do something, and then we realize, oh, wow, like this uncovers a ton of stuff, and which is what we're about to go say now. And then also us, we're like, we've hired people to help us on our specific type of content. We're like, oh, wow, we enter through lever one, but then we haven't figured out the next steps or the next things. And so the way I visualize it, I don't know if you're a big racing car, you know, or F1 fan, but I am. And I love playing like the racing simulators. So when you get in there, there's all these data that the game gives you. Where it's like, okay, tires, put it a little bit more soft for more traction. The engine, put it on this side so it gets you a little bit more speed, but you're going to sacrifice drag, or all these things that you can play with. And that's how I visualize it. We can assign resources on our creation method, but then that's going to affect the production, and that's going to affect distribution. So what we found is like there's certain element of each one of these in every single company. So I'll give you a couple examples first, and then we can dive in. So the first one is ourselves. When we first started publishing, we didn't have the podcast. We were freelancing, me and my brother at the time. We tried for 2 years ish, a little bit more, on like mimic or model, like the Gary Vee model, the Peng Joon model. Like we bought all the books and we're like, we're going to do the same thing. And for some reason we couldn't keep up with that. And we couldn't understand, mm-hmm. like, it's all there in the book. It's all there in the YouTube video. Like, why can we keep up? And we couldn't understand. We didn't have the levers at the time. This is something that we, over the years, we developed, but we're starting to realize that our capacity was not what it needed to be, and our resources were not the same as those teams and what those systems were designed to do for those specific companies. So they were sharing something that was working for them, and then the consumer doesn't know how many video editors they have. They don't know how many script writers they have. They don't understand that Gary Vee lives attached to his phone and he's, you know, creating documents in 24/7 and sending through DMs or messages to his editing team, that then he has 7 editors and then all 7 edit the same video and then he picks the one that he likes the most. That's a lot of money, a lot of resources, crazy, a lot of time. And we don't understand that, right? So what we decided to do was like, okay, let's trigger publishing. That we know that if we create content, something is going to happen. That was a belief, right? And we all know that. If you're here watching this or listening to this, you know that content leads to profit, that leads to revenue that your business needs. So now the question is, like, how do we now connect the dots? in our side, we know, okay, first step is we got to be consistent, right? We gotta be out there every single day somehow. So we took account of our own time because we didn't have a team and we had skills to edit, but those skills were used for the clients that we had at the time for the type of work that they needed. And we said, okay, well, I have only 30 minutes before lunch that I can dedicate to content. And that quickly turned into about 10 minutes. So what we decided to do was we're just going to do a Facebook Live. And I'm going to walk you through kind of like the six levers, and I'll tell you how we connected everything. So on the what to say, we decided, or I decided, Fonzie was a little bit different, but how I decided to do my challenge was, hey, I'm gonna say something that I learned about on today on an episode, a podcast episode that I listened to, on a book that I was reading, or a life lesson. I'm going to tell the story. And then at the end, I'm going to relate it to my business, which was content production. And that was it. That was like my decision. I was not going to change that framework. That was my commitment for 45 days. On the creation side, I made the decision that I was going to create out of my phone, and I was going to be doing it wherever I was at 11:30. So I had an alarm on my phone. I said 45 live. And if I was sitting in the car or in the office or walking at that time, I was going to create, and I didn't need a studio. They didn't need anything. I was going to do that. So I had my framework of the story. So I always had to be learning, always had to be consuming, which is what we were doing at the time, still do. And then the creation model. Once I said that, the creation was about, you know, I was going to keep it under 5 minutes, like the story. Normally I aim to do that. And then the production, there's no production because we're doing Facebook Live. So as soon as you hit record, it's being produced and it's being distributed at the same time. What I added later was I would download that video from the Facebook Live and I will repost it on LinkedIn. That was the only thing that I did on distribution afterwards. And then after that, we have monetization, and then we have management. So the monetization side, which is super crazy. I don't know if you see what I'm seeing, but Apple has like this feature that, yeah. I don't think that's gonna show in your feed. Yeah, I know. So on the monetization side, after every single video, I will say a call to action. Be like, hey, if you wanna connect with me or learn more about content frameworks and what we're doing with content, just reach out to me, send me a DM. That's it. There's no landing page, no website, no nothing. It's like, connect with me. And then how do we manage this? I kept track of this as a study, right? Just to share it on a spreadsheet. So it'll be like day one, I talked about X. It took me X amount of minutes, right? Because we wanted to share it with people. And that was it. And if I wanted to plan ahead, things that came to my head, I would just put it on the spreadsheet and then I'll look it up on my phone right before recording. Well, guess what? It lasted 15 days. But it was not because we failed. It was because somebody reached out on LinkedIn that never engaged, never did anything. But he reached out about 11:30 at night. He's like, hey, dude, tomorrow I have a content dinner and I would love to have you there because I've seen your content and I want you to come and talk to the entrepreneurs that I'm having here in this room. And that conversation turned out into our first big client that we had. It turned out to be a six-figure client and started the whole system that we now been selling for the last four years and evolved and so on. So that was a proof of consistency. Now, with that company that hired us, it's a $200 million company. They have millions and millions of dollars in real estate. They had at the time 80 employees. And what they decided to do was their CMO was spending about 80 hours every single month trying to create content. He was walking around the office, interviewing their staff, interviewing people, and he was just wasting a ton of time that he could spend with his team members. So the system that we designed was based on that idea of the 45 live, and that structure was, hey, what's your monetization process right now? And they had like a little community that they have a sales team that were calling them to get them into property rentals, right? And then they also had a second business on the back end, which is real estate investing themselves. So they were getting into big buildings and buying stuff in downtown and expanding and helping the city. So they needed to develop big relationships. So based off of that, the conclusion was like, great, let's develop a podcast. But also a podcast or a show at the time that will save the CMO, Craig, a good amount of time. So the pitch was, hey, we only need you for 4 hours. That's all we need you for, right? So how's this breakdown? On the what to say, it was a collaborative show. So obviously they're experts in what they do and they just bring somebody. So it was an interview, right? That's it. There was no research apart from researching the guests at that point. They had a team. So the team was prepared with like a sheet for that. And off we went. Creation, the structure was once a month, we will book 6 hours or 7 hours, a full day of recording. We'll do a setup in the office and they'll invite four guests, whether that's a investor, a potential relationship, a customer, an employee, right? And they'll have those conversations. So the CMO only had to show up for 4 hours instead of trying to record for 80. And then from that, on the production side, we implemented what we now know as the M2M method, which is how we multipurpose content, which is long form to short form. So we will, you know, do the full podcast episode, the full YouTube show. They will stream that live on their Facebook group at the time, which now I think it reached over 4,000 members, I think, which is crazy and generated millions and millions of dollars for them, which is really exciting. And then based off of that conversation, the key moments, right, which what we did in the workshop with your community, then those were clips that they will publish organically on distribution, and then that they will run ads to retarget people to put in the group to consume more of the content and the behind the scenes and so on. And then, so that was the distribution. Monetization, people will go into the group based on the Facebook ads of this content. They will go into the group based on the organic reach of this content. And immediately a sales member will like welcome them into the group, do an onboarding into the group, and then move them into a call to where, let's discover why you're here. Let's answer your questions. They will invite them back to the show, which was the production, right? The live that we were streaming, or move them forward in their pipeline. So that's how they were able to acquire and triple sales like very, very quickly. And then at the end, how do we manage all this? They had a team of VA, they had a production team, that was us. They had like a marketing expert on the side, on the messaging side of like, how do we frame the things that we're putting out there and so on. So you can see the both extremes, but all six levers work really, really well. And then we can go into details. But those are a couple examples maybe to illustrate, you know, from like solopreneur all the way to a big company. And then anything in between can fit in there, depending on like how we assign the resources.
Yeah. So I know that it sounds like with the video profit levers that it's kind of like step by step, right? You start with what to say, et cetera. But I don't think that most people think that way when they create content. So do you have any advice, and maybe it's just like start wherever you want and then you just need to work out where it goes from there. But like in terms of where we what am I trying to ask? Like, should we be starting from the very beginning? Do you find that most of your clients start from the very beginning? And how do we actually optimize where we focus our efforts on? Because it's going to be impossible to focus on all six things, let's be honest. So where should we be focusing first? And then, and then how do we optimize from there?
Yeah, good question. What we have observed, and I think this is part of because our offering, like we're a production house, right? So people come to us for production. So that's normally where people are at the moment. And what I would encourage everybody listening or consuming this today is like, well, where are you at the moment? Like, do you have an offer that you can monetize, right? We get a lot of people in our studio where, hey, I want to do a podcast. I want to build this community and I want to sell a ton of stuff. And we're like, well, perfect. Do you have a business? And they're like, no. And we're like, okay, we're way ahead of our heads, right? Like that might not be the goal for the first 6 months if you want to start the podcast today, for example, right? And then we have to assess. So I recommend everybody, okay, where are you in your journey? If you're a company that already has a proven sales method and has a proven product that people like and love, perfect. Like, how do we pour gas into some of that? So in our specific case, a lot of people come to us initially because they have the production problem. They're like, okay, I know what I'm saying, right? Or I think they think they know what they're saying. I have my message kind of packed down. I create it consistently. So maybe for them, it's like once a week, twice a week. But I don't have a team, or I try to hire an editor, but they don't work or so on. So we fill in that, you know, we're that fractional content team for them. And then we're like, perfect. How do we plug the content into your offer? Do you have an offer, a proven offer? That's the other thing. And then they normally have like a VA or an executive assistant or a distribution team or something on the side. So that will be like ideally how people come to us. What we found over the years is that as soon as we solve the production problem, we're like, okay, we're creating content consistently. It looks the way that you want it to look. It looks amazing. Then what happens, there's a disconnect between the content and the monetization immediately. Like, this content is not working. It's not converting. So a lot of people are like, well, it's the production or this the agency's fault. What happens is we start uncovering, well, why is not converting? Well, we got to start with the messaging. Keep in mind, we talk about this in the publishing pyramid. Quality over the message over quality of the production. There's a lot of videos that are just talking heads. that maintain us engaged, and we're learning and we're building trust and rapport with that person. And then we move forward with a decision to continue to consume their content or buy from them. And there's also really high produced videos that you skipped right off. So quality of the message over quality of the production. So that's the first thing. We got to do an internal audit. I'm like, okay, is my message the right message? Am I saying the right things? Am I being entertaining? Am I keeping people's attention? So a very quick example of this, let's say you publish a video on YouTube and let's say the video is 8 minutes, because now the gurus are saying that's 8 minutes. So you can place 3 ads in your YouTube and you can monetize that way. I'm like, there's no perfect recipe for any of this.
It really isn't, yeah.
But let's say you're selling something and you put your call to action in the very end of the video. But then you look at your data and your consumption data says that maybe 10% of the people get to the very end. So you're already losing 90% of people in that journey before you even make the call to action to transition people into your offer. So clearly, it's not the production value. It's like, maybe we need to rearrange the things that we do inside of the video. Maybe we say the offer at the very beginning so 90% sees it in the first 30 seconds to a minute and see what happens. And then we started collecting data and we started seeing, okay, that's the connection. And then if we do that, and let's say 90% of the people see the message, but only 5% move forward. Well, why is that? And we start uncovering these things and then we start optimizing for that. And then we work on the message, on the what to say. People are not consuming my video. Well, they might not be interested in the topic. They might not like you. It happens. There's people that tune into our show. I believe it's the greatest show on earth, but there's people that don't like me and that's totally okay. And they'll be like, that Luis brother, that's not good, which is happened and that's totally okay. So what happens is like, okay, how can we then increase frequency and consistency so we can test this message at a faster rate? And that could be in an organic way. It can be with volume. And Alex Hormozi has a famous like clip where he talks about like, I just want to outwork everybody else. Because I can just get better out of like pure brute force. I'm going to brute force my way into success. And hey, totally okay if you have the resources and you can do that. But also, what are the other resources that you have access to? So do you have access to a Facebook ads agency? So maybe you can run some of that content and speed it up with ads. And then you get cold traffic and see what happens. So for example, in our show, we discovered we run a podcast ad campaign for our main show, main episodes, audio. And we found out that only 5% of cold traffic stayed listening 3 episodes or more. So we invested about $3,000 in that specific campaign and we find that out. And we're like, okay, well, what are the things that we can improve here? So maybe the episodes that we picked were not relevant to run the campaign, right? Maybe the topic that we're doing there, we thought it was polarizing, but it didn't add value to the listener. So we started seeing this data behind as we were publishing. And then what happens if you increase your consistency and frequency, you can see that data more often and you can adjust. So then again, it's all these 6 levers. It's not like, oh, I start in the first one and then run the whole system. It's like, we have to have them all present and based on your resources, start making those decisions, right? Well, if I want to create more content more consistently, more frequently, maybe I don't drive to a studio once a month. Maybe I build a studio inside of my house where the distance from idea to recording is shorter. So then I just step in front of the camera, do this like awesome, super engaging video that I think, and then put it out and see what happens. Or maybe I make peace with, I'm just going to publish from my phone and promote the episodes out of my phone. What are the resources that we have? And you start playing with that based on what you also enjoy to create. That's the other thing. It's like a lot of people are like, I should do a podcast or I should do a YouTube channel. Turns out they hate to be in front of a camera, or they don't like to talk into a microphone. They like to write. Well, maybe that's not the vehicle. Maybe the vehicle is blogging, is collaborating through blogs.
Yeah.
So there's many elements that we have to be present and start figuring out, okay, what's our system? That's why podcasting for us works, is because we love it. We enjoy every single second that we are with that person having that conversation. We say it all the time. We create it for us. And then people have been tuning in because if we share that good energy, if we share that value, if we ask the right questions, and because we're excited about it, people are going to be excited about it. And that's proven to be true for us. So I encourage you to find out like what type of content excites you and then start testing these levers.
And you know what? Because I'm going to be honest, even as you're talking about it, it's awesome and I love it. And I'm like totally on board. But it also sounds like a little bit overwhelming because you've got the content creation part of it. You've got the get it out there. Then you've got the optimization part, which is like then looking into the data and tweaking. Like this is literally a full-time job just even to do all that for one platform. And this is why I'm so, so passionate about the need for us to focus as entrepreneurs, because again, the Gary Vee model is like, let's just be everywhere and domination. And yeah. But it's just not possible when we want to actually do it right, when we actually want to make a profit from our content, when we want to win the content game. Like we have to actually
absolutely
be super mindful of how much time we dedicate to this.
You're absolutely right. And again, I'm sharing a lot of examples and I apologize if it's super overwhelming, which it can be. No, right? Again, we work with small teams and bigger teams, but this is what we encourage everybody to go and do. We have the publishing pyramid, which at the top is you have the resources. What are the resources that I have or that my company has? Let's account for them. Do you know, is it just you? Is it a team? And how much time? What's the capacity that they have? Let's say you have a full-time editor. Best case scenario is you the creator and then you have a full-time editor, which is normally the transition of YouTubers. It's like normally it's like them creating, mm-hmm. them editing, and then their first hire is the editor. Then after the capacity, what's the consistency that you want to achieve or do you want to model? And do I have the resources to model that? And if you do not have the resources, how do you get to those resources, right? It's not an excuse. It's just a, hey, how do we figure this out to get to that commitment? Or if it's not that commitment, what's then your commitment? And then at the bottom is your messaging. Like, who are you helping? What problems are you solving? So we have to be like really honest with ourselves and be like, okay, this is my pyramid. This is the resources I have. That's their capacity and so on. That's what we did. That's how it was born out of the 45 Live. We saw, okay, resources. We don't have a team. It's just us. We only have 30 minutes a day. That's our resource. Then our capacity. Do I know how to edit? Like I was like super basic, but my capacity is like, I'm mentally charged because we were dealing with clients at the time. It was 7 different products that we were doing at the time. We're all over the place. So not a lot of capacity to think about these things. And then the messaging was, I want to help people publish. That was the messaging, right? And my commitment was, I'm going to do it once a day for 45 days straight. So that led me to that audit, led to the 5-minute Facebook Live videos that we did. So it is possible. But then what happens is if it starts to work, you're going to get resources, right? Because if you connect it to your business, you're going to sell something. You're going to sell a service. You're going to sell a product. And that's going to increase your resources. So that you then can readjust those resources and create a little bit of a bigger pyramid. Or you can open a second channel. Let's say I do the Facebook Lives and now we want to be present on podcasting. Do the same thing. Do the same pyramid for your podcast. How much time do I have available? How many resources do I have? And plan that way. So if you start there, you're going to have a better idea on how we can do this. So we have an example with this lady. She had we shared it in your presentation. She had a cannabis shop and she was chasing us for 2 years after she saw us speaking at an event. She's like, well, we need a podcast. I need a podcast, but I don't have the budget. And so on. And this conversation kept going. We helping her through DMs and messages and things. And we're like, and I'm excited because like somebody that wanted to work with us, but she couldn't meet us at the budget that we needed. So one day I'm like, okay, let's do this. We're going to open a workshop. I'm going to teach you how to do it. And there's no excuse. It's like, that's one of the things that gets me crazy. People creating excuses to put their message out there. So I'm like, let's do a workshop. I'll teach you how to do it. And we'll go from there. Well, guess what? We discovered that she only had first 2 days where she could sit down and create. And then we also discovered that she didn't have any podcast equipment or she didn't know any technology and that she didn't know how to edit. And you could sit down and learn, but it's going to take you a ton of time and there's a ton of friction, right?
Yeah.
And the goal was to start publishing right away to generate some kind of stuff. So what resources do we have? So for her, she had a newsletter that had over 1,000 emails for a local business. Powerful. She loved to write. So she already was writing for a blog that she was doing and she had the possibility to hire somebody part-time for her shop that was also a social media manager. So what happened was, okay, with those resources, we started to play and create this puzzle of content that worked for her. So for her, she would sit down and write a newsletter that she was going to publish every Friday to her email list with updates and things that she wanted to share with her audience. And then her social media manager was going to use her expertise to record TikTok and Instagram reels inside of the shop and educating people about the cannabis products that they were selling. Well, guess what? they finally achieved consistency and they started publishing. And to this day, it's been a year and some and a little bit more. They I still get the newsletter. I was like, put me in that list. I want to see the content coming out. And she was able to sustain that. And she was able to hire a second person full time for her shop. And she was able to start developing relationship with their customers and selling a product that people like and educating people. And she's happier than ever without a podcast, yes. Which, crazy enough, we're a podcast production company because we own a podcast studio, but that's totally okay. So that's how you take the resources and combine them with the levers to figure out, okay, where am I playing? How am I playing it? And start developing your content machine.
Yeah, that is so powerful, because I just want to make it really clear, anyone listening or watching to this, that we have these grand visions. We see these like big successful people and we're like, we want to be like them right now. Like we want to be that everywhere. And I think so many people are like, I want to be the Alex Hormozi, or I want to be the Joe Rogan or whatever of, you know, their industry. And I think we all have to just like know and acknowledge that it's a journey. I mean, even for us here at Capture, I mean, we have this, like we built software, and even then it took us so long to go to add platform after another. Like we started with podcasting, which was awesome. You know, then we were like, we're only going to focus on two social media platforms. That's it. Facebook and LinkedIn. That's all we have time for.
Yeah.
Dialed that in. And then it's like, now it's okay. We're going to start a Facebook group and actually start to build a community, create more content. And it's like dialing that in. Okay. Now we're actually going to focus on YouTube. Like it's literally taken us, I would say like years, like multiple years to even get to even this point where we are now. So I just want to make that, I want to be really transparent about that, because I think so many people get so excited by the idea of being everywhere and, you know, content domination and all these things. And the reality of it is that if you actually want to succeed, that is, you want to actually get clients from your content, that's not, it's just not possible. And you're actually not serving your audience in the best way possible for them to receive it, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on our side, we've seen it many times. I mean, it's funny, a lot of people find us because of our show. And then after that, they're like, well, we don't know what you guys do, right? In a sense.
Yeah,
totally okay. Because the purpose of our show is to provide valuable content for people I want to publish, but mainly is to develop the relationships that then we can lean on for the business. So the person that comes to our show is somebody that we see, somebody that we admire, somebody that we could potentially work together at some point that could introduce us to referrals. And the business has grown that way. And we've grown 3 years in a row. We expanded the team. It worked for us at the moment. And that's the goal of the show. So I always have to put that. I'm not selling a product from the show. Somebody who listens to our show is going to develop a relationship with us. And we've seen people that then they go to our social media accounts and they go to our links and they're like, oh, that's what they do. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, but I build some authority rapport, and we got to understand that journey too, from the consumer point of view. Right. And then match that with the goal of your content. So we had a guy, Nate, he just started last week, and he's a real estate agent. And his sole goal is to develop relationships with successful people in town. So when people ask him, hey, who do you know that does real estate? They'll be like, Nate does real estate. And he just wants to create an awesome experience where he can create local content. It's not going to be about real estate. It's going to be about the city. It's going to be about things that he likes. He plays the guitar. He does like all these things that make him unique. And he's going to build a relationship over the show. Are the clips going to help him build a personal brand? Probably, right? Is it going to be consistent content? 100%. And then we're going to start adapting. We're like, maybe people come to them and they're like, we have these questions about real estate. And then we might open a real estate section in the show where he answers those questions, or that can be a different content spin-off or different things. So again, like we got to understand like what's the goal of, if it's solo content, of your solo content, which now I think I'm more convinced every single day that has to be a combination between value, but more entertaining. Yes. People are levitating towards that. And then if it's collaborative, why are we collaborating? Mm. I vote for relationships.
For sure. Hands down. I love that. Okay. I think we can end there because I don't want to take up too much of your time. So Luis, for anyone who does want to find out more about what you actually do, where would you like to send them?
Yeah, absolutely. If they want to listen to the show, we interview amazing people on how they're turning their content into profit. You can find the show everywhere on Content is Profit. You can also go to contentisprofit.com. You can find all the episodes there. If you want to find out more about what we do as a company, you can go to bizbros.co, B-I-Z-B-R-O-S. And then if you are in Jacksonville, Florida, we actually have a podcast studio for rent. So you can go to studiopodcastsuites.com and come visit us.
Amazing. There you have it. Please connect with the Biz Bros because seriously, they are some of the best people in the world. You're going to love them. I've left those links in the show notes. And if you'd like to become a founding member of Capture Club, where we help you with the strategy, the software, and the support to create content that gets you clients, then head over to club.capshow.com. The link for that is in the show notes as well. My name is Deidre Shen. Stay intelligently lazy.